This Faith and Finance podcast is underwritten in part by Guidestone. Guidestone envisions a world transformed by Christian investing. Through screening, corporate engagement, and impact investing, our investment strategies allow investors to be more proactive with their investment dollars to make a meaningful difference in the world while preparing for their financial future. Learn more at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith.
When your kids are little, summers seem long, and you're ready for school to start again in the fall. But what if your child is finally ready for college? Well, summer doesn't seem long enough to prepare for such a major transition. Hi, I'm Rob West. What's next after high school? If you've got teenagers, it's an inevitable question. We'll talk about some big transitions today, and then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. These days, senior year in high school seems like one long college application push, even if your child isn't really interested in a four-year degree. So let's talk about that first. No matter what kind of pressure you're getting from the school counselor or your friends, consider what's best for your teenager and your wallet. That's right, finances should be a part of the what's next conversation right from the start. The goal should be to avoid college debt altogether. So start saving early, and when your child is in high school, talk about what you can and cannot afford. Investigate scholarships and encourage your child to investigate alternatives to four-year college, including tech schools, online classes, and even the military. When a student who's applying to college starts senior year in high school, their parents have to fill out the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, or FAFSA, which will determine their eligibility for student financial aid. Even if you don't think you'll be eligible for need-based scholarships, you still have to complete the FAFSA each year if they're in college, since most schools require it regardless. Going to college is a major transition, both personally and financially. If you're the parent of a college-bound student, especially a first-year student, here are a few things you need to discuss before they leave the fold. First, help your young adult to understand the cost and value of education. Emphasize the importance of working hard academically to justify the expense. Encourage your child to get a part-time job, if possible, to help with their expenses at school. Whether or not your child has decided on a major, talk to them about the link between academic success and career opportunities. A strong college record can result in higher earning potential for the graduate. Find out the resources their school offers for free tutoring, career guidance, and student support. Make sure your freshman knows it's okay to seek help at school. Have a conversation about budgeting. Be clear. How much spending money will your student have each month, and what is it for? They do need to have discretionary money, but help them put together a plan so they don't end up spending it all on pizza. Talk to your student about credit cards. According to collegefinance.com, 65% of college students have some credit card debt, with an average of over $3,000 in debt per student. The most common credit card mistakes college students make are only paying the minimum amount and missing a payment. Talk to your student about values. College is a big step into independence, and your child will have opportunities to make important choices. Share your moral and financial values with them again, and ask them about theirs. Let them know you'll pray for them and that they can depend on you to support and love them no matter what. Starting college is a major transition for students and their families. A little communication and a pre-planned budget can go a long way to prepare them for a successful first year. As your student nears the end of their college experience, another transition looms on the horizon. I'm talking about career choices and life in the real world. Whether or not your student has a job lined up after graduation, talk to them about their plans and dreams. Your wisdom and experience can be invaluable as they make their way, but try to listen more and talk less, and offer your advice only when they ask for it. Unfortunately, inflation, student loan debt, and the cost of apartment rentals and home ownership are making it difficult for many young adults to make their way. You may find yourself in a boomerang situation where your 20 or 30-something offspring returns to the nest. According to a survey by the Pew Research Center, close to 27 million young adults moved home during the pandemic, and many of those are still living with their parents. The study goes on to state that a quarter of U.S. adults ages 25 to 34 were a part of a multi-generational family household in 2021, up from 9% in 1971. Finally, whether you're the parent of high schoolers, first-year college students, or young adults just starting out, be prepared to let go. Whether they're out on their own or still under your roof for a while, they'll be okay and you'll survive. After all, God loves them even more than you do. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Stick around.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com and the FaithFi app. You'll find powerful wisdom, free podcasts, articles, videos, and more from leading voices such as Randy Alcorn, Howard Dayton, Ron Blue, and our own Rob West. Grow in wisdom and knowledge by connecting with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards at faithfi.com or by downloading the FaithFi app.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We'll get to as many questions as we can before we round out the broadcast today. To Tampa, Rebecca, go ahead.
Yes, I want to know that if on a mortgage and a small loan, if a small extra payment a month be about the same as making one yearly payment to principal only, does it make a difference?
It does. You know, the sooner you pay toward the principal, the better, because every month that goes by that you're not paying interest on the amount that you reduced through that principal reduction payment is good for you. So all things being equal, if you were to send $100 a month starting in January versus $1,200 all at one time in December, you'd be better off doing the $100 a month. Now, if you could do the $1,200 in January, that would be better than $100 a month for the year. You see my point here. So the sooner we can make that payment to principal, the better. And if we do that systematically, either, you know, through an annual principal reduction payment or through a monthly small amount to principal reduction, both of those are going to work for you. But if you're really just looking to crunch the numbers and figure out which is better on paper, paying it off sooner rather than later is always better.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
It is, yes. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Let me also mention, Rebecca, if you're comfortable on the internet, there's a lot of great mortgage calculators out there. If you just type in, you know, principal reduction calculator, you'll find a lot of free calculators where you can put in your loan amount, the balance that you have today, the interest rate, the scheduled payment, and then you can start playing with the calculator to say, how much interest would I save if I pay $25 a month? How much would I save at $50 a month? How much would I save if I do, you know, $1,000 right now? And you can see that play out in the amortization schedule. It will tell you exactly what the benefit is. And you may find that, you know, that's the incentive you need to do a little bit more just because you see how quickly those numbers add up. Let's go right back to the phones to Chicago. Hi, Larry. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I listen every day and pick up great tidbits for you. I'm about 65 years old, and I'm financially secure, and I want to do something for my grandson. He's going to be 2 in August. And what I want to do is I want to make something as hands-free as possible, because my daughter's not the most astute with taxes, and I know I'm not going to be around forever. So mutual funds with regard to, you know, municipal bonds are okay. And I've done a uniform gift to minors with my daughter previously, but I was around to manage it. So is there any suggestions you have that I could like throw 20 grand at here, there, or anywhere and kind of not worry about it again?
Yeah. It's a great question, Larry. And perhaps one of the indexes would be a solution for you that would work well. So it would not be a systematic contribution. You're looking at a one-time contribution, probably.
Yeah, a one-time contribution that nobody really has to keep track of the tax consequences. And I don't know how that's going to happen, because I know those are the two things that are always going to happen, right? Taxes and getting called home.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I mean, somebody's going to have to handle the taxes, and depending upon how this account is titled is going to ultimately determine who's responsible for paying the taxes. The only challenge with the UTMA or the UGMA, which is a custodial account, is that it becomes the child's asset at the age of majority. So when she turns 18, if she's either not spiritually or financially mature enough to handle it, it's her money and she can do with it what she wants. So are you comfortable with that, or would you rather you or your daughter be the one to decide when she gets it?
No, let them fly on their own. They'll make their own mistakes and learn from
it. All right. So then you could do a custodial account, because I suspect, I mean, along the way, she probably won't have, much in the way of income. And, you know, then you wouldn't have to worry about it. With that custodial account, the custodial accounts are subject to what's called the kiddie tax. So this rule applies to unearned income up to a certain threshold. And then over that threshold, the child pays taxes at the parent's rate. So somebody is going to have to look after that just to make sure that the filings happen appropriately. But it should be fairly simple. I mean, I think the key is to put this in something where you don't need active oversight of it. And that's probably going to be one of the index solutions, where you just pick a broad market index, you drop the money in, and then you're just knowing, okay, I'm capturing the broad moves of the market. Maybe it's the S&P 500, or the Russell 1000. So you're not picking winners and losers. You're just saying, as the broad market does well, this account is going to do well over time. And then obviously there will be, taxes that will have to be paid along the way, for any distributions, meaning dividends. But, until it's sold, there's not going to be, much in the way of taxes that will have to be paid, if anything, given that it's in that custodial account. So you could, go to a Schwab, for instance, and open like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, where they kind of use one of these robo-advisors to manage it for you. It's very low cost, probably 0.1% a year. And, it would make sure that it's properly diversified among largely stocks, but probably a smaller allocation of bonds, but only using the exchange traded funds. And, as long as your daughter could hand that over to a CPA or somebody who's filing her taxes, then they can include it.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you doing what you do.
Happy to do it, Larry. And thanks for your call and your kind remarks, sir. I appreciate you. Let's stay in Chicago. Hi, Sally. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of questions. I just turned 69 a couple of weeks ago, and I have about $300,000 in 401k. And what I'm interested in, I've talked to a couple of people that have annuities, and I was wondering if you can explain the lifetime benefit of annuity and how does that really work? The other thing is, I also am by myself. I'm divorced and I don't have any children, and I'm kind of worried about what's going to be happening with my long-term care. If you have any input on that, and how do I go about obtaining that?
Okay. Yeah. So you're probably talking about what's called, for the first part of the question, a single premium immediate annuity. It can be also called an income annuity. And basically, it's designed to give you peace of mind and make sure you never outlive your retirement savings. So usually, your lump sum is then paid in from a 401k or other investments. And then, you can either let that grow or you can annuitize it, which then converts it into an ongoing guaranteed stream of income for a specified period of time or for a lifetime. And then, you know, eventually you can make withdrawals on that. So is that the kind of thing you're looking for?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So what I would do, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said I got some information from a friend that did that, and she's getting, I believe, about $7,000 a month, and she also had a long-term care combined with that. And I really couldn't understand everything that she was trying to tell me in a short period of time.
Yeah, got it. All right, let's do this. I'm going to take a quick break. If you'll hold the line, let's pick this up on the other side of the break, and we can talk more about this guaranteed annuity and long-term care along with it. These are some great questions, Sally. Stay with us. This is Faith and Finance.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Welcome back to Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. All the lines full, so we're going right back to the phones. Before the break, we were talking to Sally in Chicago. She's got almost $300,000 in a 401k. She just turned 69. She's looking to get an annuity that would pay her an income stream. Her friend has an annuity that also has long-term care included, and she's wondering about whether or not that makes some sense. And Sally, as I was sharing before the break, you know, some of the benefits of annuities are being able to take a lump sum like you have, convert it to a guaranteed return, which gives you peace of mind, and you get tax deferral as it's growing. So it's continuing to grow in a tax-deferred environment, just like you are in the 401k. And then at some point down the road, you could convert that to an income stream, or you could do it right away if you needed the money right now. The other option is what you referred to as adding long-term care. You know, a lot of times these will be called long-term care annuities. And basically, it's just a combination of one of these fixed annuities with long-term care insurance. And so, you know, the benefit there is that, number one, the underwriting is more liberal. So traditional long-term care insurance insurers are pretty strict about who they'll insure. The long-term care annuities aren't as stringent. So that's a benefit. You continue to get the tax deferral. And then normally you would, you know, take out the interest from an annuity and it would count as taxable income. But if you take it as long-term care insurance benefits, that's not taxable. And then you still get the guarantees inside it. Now, what you need to know in terms of maybe some of the downsides is you often with a long-term care insurance policy, you'll get coverage from day one. Whereas with the annuity, with the long-term care insurance rider, it may take time for that to vest. And so you can't get that, you know, benefit right away. It also requires often, if it's a single premium policy, that you come up with the money right up front. So, you know, these things are complex, but this could solve for a couple of things you're looking for, namely, you know, a peace of mind type investment where you're not taking any risk, a reasonable rate of return, and knowing that you have the benefits of the long-term care, which in this season of life perhaps is the single biggest risk you have, just given the fact that, you know, nursing home care can run $9,000-$10,000 a month. And so, you know, if something's going to erode your assets, it's most likely, you know, going to be, you know, related to healthcare. So I think your next step, if this sounds attractive, would be to get with an advisor who could help you think through all of these options, even help you determine what would be the best company and secure the policy if, in fact, you know, that's the direction you decide to go. Does all that make sense, though?
Yes, it does. The question that I have, like on that amount of money, about $300,000, how much do you, in average, you think you would get a month as a secure income?
Yeah. You know, there's really no way to tell without running one of these illustrations, just because it involves not only your age and the balance, but the medical underwriting. And then also, you've got to look at, you know, the impact of the long-term care insurance, because then it's not going to grow quite as quickly. So I would recommend that you know, rather than me giving you a number here, just kind of off the cuff, I'd rather you have some actual illustrations run that factor in all of your details, and then, you know, see if that's going to meet your needs, because I understand you're also solving for a monthly income need to cover your bills. And so that's going to be a key part of this.
Right. Right. Thank you so much. Yes, that was very helpful. I really appreciate it. Do you by any chance have anybody here in Chicago that you would recommend to speak with?
Yeah, I would reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor, and I'd probably call two or three and talk to them over the phone and just get a feel for who might be the best fit given your age and stage of life and the things that you're looking for, your needs. And so the way to do that is on our website. Are you comfortable using the internet?
Yes.
Okay. So just head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And then right there at the top of the page, it'll say find a CKA. And that stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. And then you can search by your zip code and you'll see all the CKAs there in your area. And you can reach out to two or three and do a phone interview.
Great. Thank you so much. God bless you for everything
all
you
right.
do every day.
And you too, Sally. Thanks for being on the program. We appreciate it. Let's stay in Chicago. Greg, go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. The question that I have is pertains to required minimum distribution. I work for the federal government, so I have a thrift savings program. And I understand that the current age where you have to take a required minimum distribution is 72.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct. Well, yeah, and it's going up to 75. But yeah, for most folks, currently it's 72.
Okay, so if I'm 72 and I'm still working, am I still required to take that distribution?
No.
Even though the...
Yeah, so if you are still working, you do not have to take the required minimum distribution until you retire. And this applies really to any retirement account that would normally be subject to an RMD. If you're still employed, then you don't have to take that required minimum from the plan that your current employer sponsors. Now, that does not apply if you have other accounts, so IRAs, Simple, SEP, retirement plans from previous employers, those would all have a required minimum, you know, even if you're still working. But for that plan with your current employer, as long as you're still working and you don't own more than 5% of the business, which you don't with the U.S. government, and you have that employer-sponsored plan, then you do not have to take that RMD until you retire.
And you said that age is going to go up to 75. Is that predicted to happen this year?
It comes a little later. So it was through the Secure Act 2.0, and it's for retirees who reach age 74 after 2032. So it's down the road a ways. It goes right now it's 72, and then it will eventually go to 73 in 2033, I believe it is. So it's going to be a while before it heads up, but it is continuing to move higher.
But as long as I'm still working, I'm not required to take that distribution.
From the plan with your current employer, that is true.
Okay. Well, thank you. That was the question that I had.
Okay, very good. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate you being on the program. Well, folks, that does it for us today. I'm Rob West. Thanks to our amazing production team and to you for listening. I hope you'll join us again next time right here on Faith and Finance.
Faith and Finance is provided by FaithFi and listeners like you.